In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the principles for preparing a sermon is that you should look for the difficult bit and choose that as your text. Because if you find it difficult, then you can be pretty sure your congregation will too. So it seemed obvious to go for that passage from the book of Genesis for today. What is going on there with Abraham cutting up animals and a flying firepot and a flying torch? What we have here is some ancient, primitive piece of ritual that has somehow got itself attached to the story of Abraham. It was probably included to give some sort of historical prestige for one of the shrines of ancient Israel, all of which were eventually replaced by the temple in Jerusalem. And this episode then places the Jerusalem temple and its worship in its historical context, and by associating it with Abraham, the father of the nation, it is given great prestige. Abraham had obeyed God's call to go out into the desert, to abandon his home, his roots. By being childless, he does not even have the security of descendants to keep his name alive after he is gone. And yet, here in the desert, God promises him all that he wants, all that he needs, the assurance of both land and descendants, a place to set down roots, and the promise of growth. This covenant, this promise freely given by God, is sealed by solemn ritual. The smoke and the flame testify that God himself is present, like the cloudy, fiery pillar that Moses and the children of Israel saw in the desert. It is a sacred place, and it is significant that Abraham's first instinct is to make an offering, a sacrifice from the fruits of his labor, as did Noah before him, and Moses afterwards. It is the place where Abraham meets God, a place of awe and mystery, where Abraham experiences a deep and terrifying sleep, and he is surrounded by darkness. Is it too fanciful to see in this a precursor of the deep darkness which fell on the whole land at the ninth hour on Good Friday? For the moment of Jesus' death on the cross is also a place of offering, a place where a new covenant is made between God and his people, a place where the nature of God is seen in all its fullness. And this had to happen in Jerusalem, as Jesus tells the Pharisees. It is impossible for a prophet to be killed away from Jerusalem, because by then the sacred places and altars in the desert had long since been transferred to Jerusalem, to the temple, the house of God, the place of sacrifice, and the symbol that God has made his dwelling place among his people. After Jesus' crucifixion, though, the temple was destroyed within a generation, and the focus of the Jewish religion moved to the synagogue, some of which are called Beit Berit, House of the Covenant, to this day. And Christians expelled from the synagogues looked to their churches as the place to meet God, as their sacred space. Both synagogue and church are signs of God's presence with his people. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is with them. The altar around which we gather is at one and the same time a symbol of security and safety at the heart of God's covenant, but also a place where we encounter him in awe and mystery and wonder. And we have lost so much of this today when we work, live and worship in different locations, when our church buildings become merely gathering places. But what if we believe and behave accordingly, that we are here to meet God in a sacred place with appropriate symbols and actions and words? These things become deeply embedded in us, things we remember that come back to us in the future when we need the assurance of knowing God has promised to be with us. Things to pass on to our children so that they too will be mindful of God's presence as their lives unfold. Abraham's instinct to respond to God's presence by ritual speaks to something deep in us all, creating sacred spaces and holy times in the journey of our lives. Amen.